I've really been in a little despair about America, and kingdom divided can't stand. We're very deeply divided, and then even if we were united, like they were in Genesis 11, they were all united. They were all going to do it, but they were united around godlessness, and God had to come down and judge it. And I see the direction America's going. I'm seeing all of the scandals in the church, and I'm just like, this is a mess. But Alice had me watch a podcast by a guy named Dutch Sheets about America, about promises that God has given him about America and about what America deserves versus what God in his mercy has promised and still wants to do. And I like people that believe God more than I do. He brought some thoughts in. I'm like, okay, I can believe. I don't want to be dark. I want to believe. I want to believe in the greatness of Jesus and how great his power is and what he can do in a human life. He can do for a country as well. And so whenever I get hope, I like to pass it along. And so tonight is entitled, What is God's Purpose for America? And Acts 17, 26 and 27. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us. So God is the nation maker. He makes nations. He sets boundaries for nations. He orders the times that they live in. What is his purpose for making nations? Certainly the first one is to bring civil government. Romans 13, 4, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Good government, the purpose of civil government, there's no power in civil government to redeem people. There's no way that it makes people good. That isn't the purpose of civil government. It doesn't have the power to do that. It has only been given power to restrain. And that's why it's been given the sword, because that's all mankind understands is the sword. And it restrains. It can only restrain evil. Good government, therefore, cannot save a nation. No matter how good your government is, no matter how perfect your government is, it cannot save a nation. Israel's government was the most perfect government. It had the best leader. It was always under judgment. Government can't save a nation, but bad government can destroy it. And when a nation is destroyed, which many nations through history have been destroyed, the purpose that God made that nation for also is destroyed. Now, God's greater purpose is never destroyed. God says to Esther, for such a time as this, I've raised you up for such a time as this. This is your time in history. This is why you have this position. But if you don't step up in this time, God will raise up deliverance from somewhere else. He will add the purpose that was on your life to somebody else's. It's going to take longer. It's going to be harder, but God will find a way. And God's purposes cannot be thwarted, but his purpose for a nation can be thwarted. Does God have a purpose for America? We know he has a purpose for Americans, that they would repent, come to the knowledge of the truth, and be saved. That is God's will, his desire for every single American. But did God establish America, the country, for a purpose? I believe so. And I'm going to give you and point to three purposes for America. The first one is religious freedom. The Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, I am convinced, came from heaven. The Declaration says, certain truths are self-evident, that all people are created equal and have been given, listen, unalienable rights from their creator. among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness there is a quote from John Locke. It does not mean my happiness instead of your happiness. It means my happiness as it's consistent with communal happiness. But there's these unalienable rights, and America was founded that this is the first country that's ever done this, that government doesn't give you your rights. Your rights come from God, and the purpose of government isn't to give you your rights, but to protect your rights. That's just a different idea. It's a different idea that just because you're king, just because you're the strongest and you're the most powerful, you don't get to make the rules. God gave rights to humanity. And the purpose of might is to protect rights, not to give you your rights. So America, with this beautiful God-given document and beginning, immediately did not defend the rights of all men. And we had slavery. We didn't give Native Americans their rights. And we experienced God's judgment in a civil war that was bloody, it was horrific, it was horrible, and it won the rights for African Americans. And then from there, America once again chose not to defend the rights of African Americans and made Jim Crow laws because that was a way to get around the new rights, and the oppression continued, and all the way to the civil rights with Martin Luther King Jr. and all of the civil rights things. And of course, we've been trying to, as a government, as a people, live up to this inalienable rights. We've struggled as a nation. So today, both of our political parties are talking about a woman's reproductive rights. Now, this is a right. This has become the most popular thing in America, is a woman's reproductive rights, i.e., women should have the right to abort their children. And those rights, the right to abort children, did not come from God. That came from government. And whether you say it's the state making that, giving you that right, or the federal government giving you that right, it is government. It is not a God-given right. And we have two parties. We used to have a pro-life party and one that was not pro-life, and now really one party has taken almost all pro-life stuff out of their platform because it's not popular. They still are against late-term abortions, but now they're talking about the reproductive rights of women, and now the states get to do that. The other party, at their national convention, had a mobile abortion clinic just a few blocks from the convention site where 20 plus abortions were performed while the convention happened. Now, folks, that sounds really close to a sacrifice to Moloch. That's dark. That's just very dark. America was founded to protect religious freedom and the freedom, the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Second purpose for America is to stand with Israel. God raised up Israel. It was his chosen nation to bring Messiah, and they suffered as they carried the seed of Messiah, and then they brought Messiah, and then they rejected Messiah, and then they were horribly judged in the first century by God for rejecting the Messiah, which Jesus said would happen in their generation. But God's plan for Israel is non-negotiable. It is, he doesn't go back on his promise to Israel. And of course, in 1948, Israel was made a country again after an effort by Nazi Germany to wipe out the Jewish people. And we've had a supernatural war in 1967, another one in 1973. And today, right now, in fact, Israel is being threatened in this world. And I believe America was raised up to be a friend of Israel. God promised that he would bless those who bless Israel. And I want to just reflect a little on the war that's going on over there for just a moment. And you may disagree with me. We can talk about it later. You can send me an email later. Something happened in September of 2023. There were already two Arab nations that recognized Israel. That Israel is Isaac and the Arab nations are Ishmael, and two nations had already recognized Israel's right to exist. And then in the Abraham Accords, four more countries joined and said, yes, there can be two states. We recognize Isaac. We recognize Isaac and Ishmael can exist together in this world. We can have two states. And then one of the news anchors of the major networks in September of 2023 interviewed the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia and two other Arab nations were ready to join the accord and said, yes, we can live with Israel. We can recognize Israel. Now, for militant Islam, there is no option of recognizing Israel. Isaac must be destroyed. There is no plan, there is no platform except to destroy Israel and run them into the sea. They are the great Satan, we're second. But militant Islam, this is what fuels their ideology. And so the attack of Hamas on October 7th of 2023, just days after this interview where Saudi Arabia said, yes, let's have two states, this was an attack by Iran through its proxy, Hamas, to undermine this process. They cannot have two states. And so they killed all these people, kidnapped a lot more people, and we have been in a war ever since. And Hezbollah, once again, Iran's proxy that is doing Iran's work, and now Iran, of course, today sent 181 missiles directly into Israel. And it is the idea that we're going to negotiate a peace treaty. Folks, there can't be a peace treaty because that's their ideology. They would rather, this is what they die for. It's like Nazi Germany. You can't make a deal with Nazi Germany because the ideology of Nazism, it fuels hatred. So it has to come down. And so this is what we're in right now. We are in a battle right now. And one of God's purposes for raising up America and giving America the prosperity it has been to be a friend to Israel. The third purpose for America is to preach the gospel and bless the world. The generosity, the prosperity that has come to America is greater than any nation in the history of the world. What is the purpose of that prosperity? Is it so that we will be comfortable and have big homes and isolate ourselves from everybody else? No, God has raised up prosperity so that we will preach the gospel all over the world, that we'll send missionaries, that we'll print Bibles, that we will send help, that we will send mercy ministry all over the world, that we will extend God's mercy and grace in the midst of human need and brokenness in a world of karma, which doesn't help because you're getting exactly what you deserve. We're not going to interfere with karma. For us to help you in your broken, horrible state would be us interfering with what you rightly deserve. And militant Islam that Allah doesn't love. You just fear Allah. You don't love Allah, and he doesn't love you. This is a very hard, hard world, and God has raised us up to be generous, to bring mercy and compassion to the poor, whatever their belief system is, and to be a country that welcomes immigrants. We were part of a program, an amnesty program for Haitians. It was Haitians, Ukrainians, and Venezuelans that they could come because America could be a refuge for them and we could help them get by while their country's in. This is what America is about. Now, that program has had to end because of what's happened at our southern border. What has happened at our southern border is a horrible, horrible failure of government. Let me explain. As a pastor, I understand desperation. When people are desperate and they come to you, they will never make a boundary. They will take every possible thing you can give them because they're desperate. I understand that when desperate people come, and desperate people come to the church all the time, I realize I'm the one that will have to make a boundary. This is what we're going to do for you. This is what we can't do for you, but this and no more. And then they're going to have to be content with that. I do not blame the immigrants for coming to America and lining up at our board. Why? They're desperate. They just want something better for their life and for their family. So they're not going to make their own boundary. We have to make the boundary. We have to say, yes, we are here and we are a country of immigrants and we want to make a way for you to become legally an immigrant, but you have to go through our process. At night, I want you to picture a family with four little children. It is mom and dad's job to lock the back door. The kids don't lock the back door. Mom and dad lock the back door. Why? To protect their family. You and I cannot do anything about that border. Have you noticed that? We are powerless. This is government's job. Government has to protect us as a nation. Why? Because we don't want to help people. We don't want people. No, we do want people to come here. We just don't want to penalize all the people that have come here legally. And letting our border get flooded. And so this is the mess that our country is in right now. So here's my last point, our need for revival and awakening. Here's Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation. I love this. Here's why. David sinned really bad. And here was David's sin. It wasn't just that he committed adultery and murder. It was that he had been given every blessing from God, every privilege from God. God had done abundant. He says to David in 2 Samuel, David, how could you possibly do this? I gave you your master's house. I made you king. I blessed you in every way. And if that wasn't enough, you could have asked and I would have given you more. You have caused my enemies to blaspheme. You have taken privileges and have openly sinned against me. But David repented. His life, if you notice from the sin with Bathsheba and the rest of his life, there was a lot of pain. It was really hard. It was really difficult. And I think the idea of America just being carefree and going back to being this whatever, that's off the table. We've sinned greatly as a country. But that doesn't mean we can't still fulfill God's purpose for us. But for us to fulfill God's purpose, does anybody in this place believe David would have fulfilled God's purpose without repenting? Psalm 51 is David's psalm of repentance. The idea that David would just continue on an automatic, no. If David doesn't repent, his purpose is not fulfilled in that generation. So here we have today in America, we have Bathsheba and we have Uriah. Bathsheba is our immorality as a nation. We were called to be an evangelist of the good news, of the generosity of God and the beauty of God. America has been used to evangelize pornography. Immorality has created sex trafficking, has paid for sex trafficking. America has committed immorality in every way. We've glorified immorality in our movies, in our print, on the internet, in a thousand ways. America has propagated immorality. And then, what was killing Uriah? David didn't want to be exposed. He didn't want to be exposed. So he's going to kill the one that would have exposed his adultery. And so he doesn't want to be exposed. And so he kills Uriah. And to me, the reproductive rights of women is we get to have immorality and then we can not be exposed and our life won't be inconvenienced and we can just take care of it. And this has become very popular in America. This is the most popular issue that one party is running on. And guys, we need to repent as a nation for what we have done and what we have been part of. And you say, Pastor Tom, are you, you know, yeah, that's what I think too. It's their problem. It's the world's problem. These horrible people in the world. No, no, that's not who God's looking at. When God said, when Sodom was about to be destroyed, God said, I need 10 righteous people. If I could find 10 that will come into agreement with me, if I can find a remnant that will agree with me on what is sin and repent and pray, I can save all of Sodom. God's looking at his church today. He's looking at his church in America to repent. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, my people, not the world, my people, if my people will do this, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land.